Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Blessed, bro. Praise Jesus, man.
Yeah, amen. Amen. I cut you off there, but praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
Blessed, trying to be a godly example.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's good for you. We're not going to be talking about that today. Okay, yes, we are going to be talking about that today. Something that's really, really important. And I'm going to get this out right away. I was thinking about it later in the show, but it's something that just to set kind of the groundwork for why we're talking about this. Not only, you know, we've been talking a little bit about homeschool, and we're going to deal with that as well, and about how being a God example to your children. But in my own testimony, a lot of you guys here, if you've listened to the Good Fight Radio Show, the first three episodes we did was Joe's testimony, my testimony, and also Tony's. And in my testimony, you guys may have remembered, or something, you know, if you've listened at all to the show, one of the things that happened to me when I was in my partying, you know, stage, one of the things that took me from apathy, fake Christianity, where I grew up in my house where it was more nominal, and to a place where I said, I don't believe in God and I hate him, was basically I was invited to a church service. And when I went to the church service, it was after a party thrown at my house. And at that party, there were a number of people, and we would always have what I called the VIP room at my house, where we would literally just go in my room, and that's where drugs and alcohol and girls and all that stuff would go in, out even within the party. And I, you know, remember who was in that room. And then when I went to church with my friend the next day, the same girls that were in, I remember distinctly, they were in that room with us the night before. The next day, we're sitting there, I walk into the church, and in front of me, this was not Blessed Hope Chapel, by the way.
Yeah, not our fellowship.
So I gotta give that caveat. But I walked right in, and the same girls that were with me the night before, doing all these terrible things, doing drugs on the table there in my room, drinking, taking shots, were the same as with their hands raised the next day. And I said, this stuff's phony. There's no victory in this. And at the time, I was miserable. Like, even though I was the life of the party, I was the funny guy, I was a big drinker, but I was really miserable in my sin. And to see that, it was like, they don't have an answer either, and this whole thing's phony. So as a believer, this has been absolutely a hallmark in terms of how I want to walk my Christian faith. Not that I'm perfect, but we talk about it all the time. When we talk about alcohol and stuff too, about certain convictions we have concerning that, have to do with our example we want to leave. We would never want someone to look at us and catch us doing something that was unbiblical and leaving a good example so that you aren't a black eye to the body of Christ. So this is something really, really important. I wanted to lay down that groundwork because we're going to be going over a number of scriptures of why you need to be a good example.
Amen. And first and foremost, we want to be good examples as basically a hallmark of who we really are. Amen. You know, our character is who we are when no one's looking, right? And we keep in mind that God is always looking, and he's the one we fear. He's the one we love. He's the one we please. And if we make him our reference, and we fear him, and we love him, and we appreciate what he's done for us through the cross, and giving us life, and preparing a place for us, those things should dominate our very lives, and just being in awe of him should so shape who we are that we're automatically good examples. So we'd only seek to be a good example so we can lead other people to Christ and not be stains, not be hypocrites. And if you've been a hypocrite, if you've been a stain, if you've been a bad example, you need to cry out to the Lord and say, have mercy on me, Lord. Forgive me and change my heart, and may my reputation be noble, and may I not bring reproach upon the gospel, and really cry out to him and pray for strength and make the decision to live a wise, godly life, to go forward in Jesus without falling the wrong way, without falling back. But it's critical that all of us are examples. You know, whether you're a parent, whether you're, you know, an employee somewhere, whoever you are, we're called to shine the light of Christ. In fact, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, right? But he also turned to his disciples and said, you are the light of the world, because we reflect him. We're called to be a salt of the earth. So I encourage you guys, each and every one to tune in and really focus on a lot of the scriptures we're sharing here, because I'm amazed when I look at the scripture. And in fact, I'm only dealing with this episode. We're going to be dealing with a fraction of the scriptures that deal with how we're to be examples, actually. I mean, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about how we're to be like Christ and become more and more like Jesus that we won't have time to get into. But I specifically wanted to hone in, and you'll see some things, hopefully, that you have never heard before that'll hopefully stretch you and encourage you about being an example, because we are living epistles, Paul said, read of men. So there's the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but there's also the gospel of Tony over there, and there's the gospel of Chad over here, there's gospel of Joe right here, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are, you know, God's gospels, and these are etched, you know, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, the perfect word of God. We're not perfect, but we are living epistles who are read of men. And you, if you're a believer, you're being read of men. So what is the gospel according to Chad? What's the gospel according to Tony? What's the gospel according to Joe? Are we representing the Lord properly? God help us to. We're all far from perfect, but hopefully people can look at our lives, especially those who are closest to us. And I'm confident of that reality with all three of us knowing these guys so well and their families and so forth. But I'm confident that those that know him know that we're real. And, you know, I'm very intimate. We have a strong, beautiful relationship with my wife, my children, and beyond that. And I'm an open book. I spend all the time with my brothers and sisters, and I have a choice. I can choose to be an example and live for Christ or not. I choose to live for Jesus. And guess what? You can make that same choice. In fact, if you've got, you know, a past that's kind of, you know, broken up and messed up in some ways, and you've led people in the wrong way, maybe you haven't been the best example, you can repent of that. And we encourage you to do that if that's the case. And we encourage you to be encouraged by these scriptures. Paul, who is a spiritual father and the Lord of many people, he said in 1 Corinthians 4:16, I encourage you then, be imitators of me. That's pretty heavy. Can you say to others, hey, be imitators of me? Paul could say that. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. So the only reason we could be imitate or ask people or tell people, hey, you know, watch how I live my walk, how I live my life, is if Christ is our life, if he's first in our lives. And Paul was such an amazing man of God, he could say that. In Philippians 3:17, Paul writes, be imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and watch carefully those who are living this way, just as you have us as an example. So it wasn't only Paul. I think this is interesting. He's talking about his spiritual comrades, his brothers and sisters in Christ who were going forward in Jesus, that he was saying, hey, you can look to not only me, but those of us who are following Jesus and the example that we're setting. Same book, Philippians 4:9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And that right there was my heart, my sentiment with my children, you know, with my wife, is that I discipled my wife, you know, as a new believer. It was my heart as with my children, and my heart with my brothers and sisters in Christ in pastoral ministry, was that, you know, they would see what my life was about, and I was all about Jesus. Yeah, not perfect, but if I fell short in a certain way, everybody would know that that would be the exception, and it's not the course that I'm on. So that's the deal, is you want to make sure falling short is the outlier, it's the exception, but not what characterizes you as a person day to day, amen? So I'm telling you, this isn't, so, oh, that's Paul. No, Paul just included other comrades of the faith, that there were examples right along with him. And guess what? The same spirit that he had is the Holy Spirit that we have, and we live by the power of the Holy Spirit to be examples. Paul states that he and his ministry companions of them in 2 Thessalonians 3:9, that we are to give ourselves an example for you to imitate. Now, he basically just states, we give ourselves as an example of you to imitate. So we're to watch our walk more than our talk. We definitely need to watch our talk. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to be examples in regard to our talk as well, by the way. But man, your walk needs to match your talk.
Yeah, it's interesting you're going over this. And, you know, this wasn't a planned episode in terms of we usually plan things throughout the week. Because for the last 2 weeks, I've been teaching in my discipleship group regarding pastors, teachers, deacons, all that stuff, right? And one of the things over and over, Hebrews 13 is a text I think about a lot, especially in 7 and 8, 7 specifically, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, considering the result of their contact imitate their faith. And then you're also, we're mentioning right here, the same thing over and over again with leaders. And then also 1 Timothy, obviously, is a very important text where it tells us specifically to leaders, to Timothy, watch your life, watch your doctrine, and doing those, you'll save yourself and those who hear you. And one of the things it tells pastors to do is not only do their work, which is which you literally take on people's burdens, fulfill the law of Christ, as every believer does, but you take on that responsibility. But one of the aspects as well that it says, you're doing all that, plus guess what? Do the work of an evangelist. And,
amen.
And I do believe that is one of the commandments that sadly, when it comes to pastoral ministry, far too many pastors have delineated and handed that off and almost given that,
abdicated that rule.
What they should be doing as well. And when we're told very clearly, and this is a text, as you, if you go through Hebrews 13, it talks about obeying those same leaders, right? And then imitating their faith. When you have pastors that aren't out there sharing the gospel, you have pastors not doing the work of an evangelist, a command to every pastor, then guess what? What is the congregation going to do? And then instead of having new converts, which is what you should have, church growth should be two things, in my opinion. Well, three things ultimately, but the first one should be you should raise people up to know the Lord. They should have children and fill up your church. The second one should also be those same people that are saved that know the Lord and know the word should be evangelizing. That should be the top two. And then obviously getting people out of false doctrine is another one. But those top two are huge. And a lot of it has to do from the get-go, from leadership and the example. And I believe that's why Satan attacks pastors to get them to fall, because typically the flock goes as well.
Yeah, no, those are important things that you're saying there, Chad. In our fellowship by the grace of God, and we're far from perfect, but we go forward to Jesus. We love the Lord, and we have a beautiful community of believers here. I just love the Lord. It's exciting. There's a joy. We just had our Wednesday night Bible study, and I don't know, we had, it was a midweek study, so we had like 65, 70 people in my backyard, and it's just see this joyful buzz with people, excited about the Lord. And both these guys are shaking their heads up and down and just loving the Lord together. And, it's in the midst of the whole COVID situation, and God's really used that to bless us,
Amen.
And,
Amen.
But it's interesting because, Chad's my son-in-law, but when he first started coming to fellowship, I think right when I met you, I said to you, or as I talked to you, was invited to go, evangelizing with us.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I tell that story all the time.
So it's interesting. We're actually seeing that in our fellowship too. We're seeing a number of young brothers and sisters that have grown up to be just on fire for Jesus in the fellowship. I can start just listening. They're just beautiful people. But we've also seen people, and by the way, one of the ways, I set out to disciple people, well, hey, Chad, hey, you want to go witnessing? I kind of challenged
100%.
Him. And he was like a fish to water, man. You guys know Chad, right? And then all of a sudden, before I know it, didn't take long, before Chad's inviting people witnessing. And now the people that he's invited witnessing are sharing the gospel.
100%.
And it's just amazing. But we also have a huge segment of people in the fellowship who've been one to the Lord, through different people in the fellowship, including Chad. And all of us, sharing the gospel with people. And it's so beautiful to see.
And using those attributes, right? Like my brother-in-law, who was used by the Lord, he not only shared with me, but then he gave me, they sold the source of rock and roll. And that was ultimately what God used. He planted, different seeds and other people watered. And eventually that is what the Lord used to cause the growth of salvation in my own life. And as you mentioned, people in our fellowship seeing you being evangelistic, you going out and sharing the gospel. And it's not like, oh, we have to go out to Third Street, you have to go out to Huntington. It's like, you don't gotta go to Zimbabwe, you can go to Subway, not as much anymore. You're outside with a mask on or something. But nonetheless, we have 20-something people, and some of these guys are young. They just came to faith, but they're like, hey, I see a bunch of college kids going out to Huntington Beach to share the gospel. I'm going to be a part of that.
It's amazing.
We were just with that this last weekend, and we saw four of the groups out there, which recognized Good Fight, actually. We had Nico, who did some videos for us for our series on
one of the things we shared,
and people recognizing him. He's in it for like 10 seconds, and yet they recognize him. Hey, because they're watching those videos, they're encouraged.
Praise God.
And then they see
us bless them,
doing what, right? Doing exactly, as you said, you've been an evangelist. That's what you thought you were going to be, you are still, right?
Yeah.
As an evangelist. But yet, because of that example, you have that bleed out into the church. And I just had Ivan come up to me after church. Hey, I've been sharing the gospel more.
Praise God.
And he's like, I just shared with somebody at work. And I'm like, it's not just the young guys, which are doing a great job sharing the gospel, and young girls. We have a team of 18 going out to San Antonio just to share the gospel. That's all we're doing, is sharing the gospel. It's not like we're building a hospital or something. That's great too, but we're going to share the gospel. And now you have people, it bleeds out, and everyone's like, wait, I should be doing this too. And it's exciting.
Yeah, and Ivan and, you know, and Landell, his wife, they just love the Lord and their kids.
Yeah.
And,
amen.
And he was sharing with me as well recently. They're new in the fellowship, maybe just a few months, you know, and they're just evangelizing and sharing the Lord with people. And exciting was sharing with me how he's sharing with people at work.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just shining them off, you know, and saying, hey, we don't want to hear it, you know, they're actually very open right now, which is beautiful. Hey, in Titus 2:7, it says, showing yourself to be an example of good works in every way. In your teaching, show integrity, dignity. I love it. So, you know, Paul and Titus, or Paul tells Titus and Timothy what it means to be mature men of God, right? And in Titus 2:3, he says, tell older women, not just the men, tell older women to live their lives in a way that shows, so they're being examples, that they are dedicated to God. So sisters, you're supposed to live your life in a way that shows that you're dedicated to the Lord, that that's what you're about. Tell them not to be gossips or addicted to alcohol, but to be examples of virtue. So this is just so many scriptures on this, you know, and it's amazing because when I set out to study being an example, I've done a number of studies of it through my Christian walk. I couldn't believe how many scriptures I came across that I'd never used. I was like, man, there's so many. In Titus chapter 2, he goes on to say they're supposed to be the examples of virtue and exhibit behavior fitting for those who are holy, not slandering, nor slaves to excessive drinking, but teaching what is good. In this way, they will train the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be self-controlled, pure, fulfilling their duties at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the message of God may not be discredited. I think it's heavy, because the first thing we have there is the older women are being, by being examples, they're training the other women how to live. It's heavy. It's supposed to teach them, but it says they train them by being an example. So, you know, we did that episode on homeschooling, and one of the and we didn't even get to it. We'll get to it. We do another thing on homeschooling like that, but is being an example, and it's such an important thing for all of us as Christians to be an example. So you could take this as one of those reasons, one of those 15 reasons it'll eventually be, and chalk up a whole message to, because I believe this is one of the most important things when it comes to just your Christian walk.
Amen.
When it comes to homeschooling, as we said, all of us are called to homeschool to one degree or another, because we're all called to train up our children the way they should go. And first and foremost, you need to walk your talk. But you know what? You could do more harm than good if you tell your children to follow Christ and what it means to live for him, give them a bunch of do's and don'ts, and tell them to live holy. And living holy, by the way, is becoming more like Jesus. You know, the do's and don'ts are kind of the, you know, part of that, but we welcome his commandments and we love his commandments because we want to be like him. We want to be holy. So, but if you're telling them to live a holy life and you're not living a holy life and you're using foul language, you know, you're getting drunk, or you're saying wicked things about people, you're watching, you know, pornographic, you know, just wicked stuff on the internet or wherever you're watching it, your child, you're going to do more harm than good, because your child is going to say, I hate Christianity. Because they're getting a wrong view as to what Christianity is. But if you're just showing the love of God to your child, and you're, or whoever you're around, and you're being a blessing, and they see the sincerity of your heart, that you really care, and that you're praying for them, and that you're a servant leader, and that you're serving them by way of example, you say, hey, how could I be of help to you? Even your child, you're like, you're letting them know that you're a servant. You know, you're the parent, but guess what? You're a servant of God, and you're there to lay your life down for your child's well-being. It will go so far. I think that's so important, because what we're up against is all these wicked examples in the world. And Satan has all these bells and whistles with all these top-notch productions, whether it's in the music industry or it's Hollywood. It's almost that you feel like you can't really compete almost, right? But don't be jaded by that, because guess what? We have something that Hollywood and the music industry doesn't have. We have authenticity. We have the power of the Word of God. We have the gospel, which is the power of God to salvation, to everyone that believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. We have the power of his word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the power of spirit. God sent forth his spirit and they were created. We have the power of God. He spoke the universe into existence. Amen. The world's phony, man. The world system is phony. Their values are skewed. They're not godly values. They're They call good evil and evil good. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. So you just live an authentic life before people, and you really love on people and let them see the love of God, which is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit in your life. That is real. They're going to see the emptiness of the world, hopefully, right? A lot of people do. Millions of people do. And then coming to Christ, oftentimes because of reading the gospel through someone's life, hearing the gospel as someone proclaims it through their life and through their words. 1 Timothy 4:12. Look, and Chad referenced this one earlier. Let no one, but I want to actually read it. Let no one look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in, now check this out, in your speech. This is the way you're supposed to set an example. I love this. Tells Titus to set an example. Tells Timothy to set an example. Let no one look down on you because you are young. Young people, you're listening to the podcast. This is to you too, right? Especially to you, but by way of application, but to all of us. But set an example for the believer in your speech, conduct, love, faithfulness, and purity. Now, I think it's really interesting. He says, what does he mean, set an example? That was a technical language back then. And if you read it in the Koine Greek, and the word tupos is used there. And that's the word we get type from, the word we get typology from. But there was a tupos that was actually used in those days. Little and Scott's Greek lexicon defines it this way. A blow, that's what the word example is in the Greek, a tupos. A blow, the mark of a blow, the impress of a seal, the stamp of a coin, a print mark of any kind, okay? The prints or tracks of footsteps. I think it's interesting because the tupos was actually used in those days by an engraver. An engraver, let's say the engraver wanted to put the outline of, for instance, a cross on a pot. Okay, he would get the pot, he'd wait till he'd make sure the clay wasn't dried yet, and he'd get an artisan to say, for instance, make a cross out of metal. That would be called the tupos, whatever you made out of metal. You could make it in the form of a boat, a ship, a horse, or whatever, but let's say he used the cross. Then the artisan would give him that cross, and then he would put that tupos at the end of a piece of wood. And then now he has this, you know, this piece of wood, could be a couple feet long or so, with this tupos at the edge of it. Then what he'd do is he'd take that pottery and he'd stamp it in there. He'd just shove it in there, nice and even-like, and leave an imprint. Then he'd pull the tupos away from it, and that pottery would then have a cross on it. And that's the word that Paul is using to Timothy. You're to be like that. You're to leave an impression on people. You're to leave an indelible mark in people's lives that changes the very character of who they are and what they look like spiritually at the very least, right? It's really heavy when you think about it. So we're supposed to leave an impression. We're supposed to be an example, supposed to be an example of Christ to people. And we're supposed to, now this is very, very important. Think about it if you're homeschooling. Think about it if you have children. We need to get to them while they are still clay before they're hardened. Amen? Because as your children get older and older, they begin to set up, so to speak. That doesn't mean, I've seen, there was one gentleman who was a Jewish guy that was being brought here in his late 90s, you know, that came to Jesus not long before he died. And he came to Jesus with tears in his eyes. You know, we shared the gospel with him. But that's very, very rare. The older children you get, the harder it is to reach him for Christ. So you want to have that impression and be that example right now and living for them, right, for the Lord right now. Proverbs 29:1 says, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck, it will suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. So we have to be very careful that we're getting to our children and we're being an example right now, but we can have an impact on their lives.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that the language that's used in terms of Ephesians chapter 5 to begin it is, therefore be imitators of God. So that's already a calling to us as beloved children. So there's this concept, as Joe's been bringing out already, that your children are going to imitate you.
Yeah.
They typically are. And
amen.
If you're, that's the sad part, is if you go to church on Sunday or you're going on Wednesdays or whatever it is, and your kids see that you're giving them all your highlights at church and that's what you're giving there. But then at home, you're an entirely different person, being that hypocrite, right? The two faces.
Yeah.
You know, as beloved children of God, you want your children to imitate you if you're imitating Christ, right? So you need to do exactly what Ephesians 5 says. You need to be imitators of God. And I think of Philippians chapter 2. It's the hymn of Christ. It's one of the earliest, it's really like a song, yeah, or like a creedal statement.
Let this mind be in you, yeah.
Let this mind be in you. Historians believe that it's written in Aramaic. I mean, in the first, like, you know, maybe 6 years of Christianity. And it's have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, being humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God exalted him. But the point of that is, that hymn of Christ, is that that's our example, and that's what we're called to be.
Amen. And you were talking specifically about Jesus, you know, and we're to be like him, and let this mind be that was also in Christ Jesus. It says of Jesus that he is the image of the invisible God, and that word image right there is icon. You know, that's in Colossians 1:15, I believe. And if my memory serves me right, that word icon was a word used of, for instance, and we use it today as an icon, right? But in those days it was used, for instance, it was an icon of Caesar on the coins. It was an imprint of Caesar on the coins. That was his image. Well, guess who the image of Jesus is? Jesus is the image of the Father. He is the icon of the Father, which I love that, man. Here's an image of a man. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and he is the one we're to follow after. And it says, as we look to him and we trust him, that we're transformed from one glory to another by the Holy Spirit, amen? So it's just beautiful that as we look to the Lord, and this is what it's about, brothers and sisters, the Lord wants you to press into him through prayer, wants you to press into him in the word, he wants you to cry out to him, depend upon him. He wants you to spend time with him and love him. And as you just rejoice in him and not let the confusion and all the seductions of the world draw you away from Jesus, you'll become more and more Christ-like. And by becoming more and more Christ-like, you will leave an indelible mark on others because you'll be transformed to look more and more like Jesus. Now, it's interesting, Chad used Ephesians 5 where it says, be imitators of God, right? Well, it's interesting, that word imitators right there is the word mimetai. And it's interesting, mimetai is from the word mimic. That's where we get the word mimic. And what does it mean to mimic someone, right? We're supposed to be mimicking the Lord God. And by the way, in that passage right there, he says to forgive one another as God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus, I believe. And he says also that we're to love one another and we're to look to Christ and follow his example. It says, who gave himself sacrificially, yeah, you know, for us, you know,
as a fragrant aroma
to the Lord. So he is our example that we're to mimic. So we're to be laying our lives down as a sweet aroma. So our children, our brothers and sisters in Christ should see us as people that don't just know truth, but there should be a sweet aroma about who we are because we spend time with Jesus. And there's many Christians that go around, you know, dotting their I's, crossing their theological T's, and spending time trying, and not by the way, not as many as there need to be today, because a lot of people aren't in the Word anymore. It's tragic. But there are many believers that are doing that. But we have to make sure that Paul, or Jesus commended the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, because they tested those who said they were apostles and were not, and found them liars, and they hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They were doing what was right theologically. But I love that passage because it's such a good warning to me and others, but they left their first love. We have to make sure that we stay in love with Jesus. That means spending time with him. And you know what? The closer you get to Jesus, the more you seek him, the more you're going to fall in love with him. So we need to follow him and be dedicated to him. And look at the things he mentions there, by the way. He says, and I think this is very important, he says in speech, Paul says, these are the things he says that Timothy should be an example. And in speech, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, Paul says, but words that are profitable for, you know, edification. Make sure your words are building people up and not tearing them down. He says in conduct to be this indelible, you know, example that leaves a mark. And the best kind of conduct you can have is to walk in love and be a loving example, as Paul said in Ephesians. So these things are so important. Not only love, guys, we're supposed to be imitators of the Lord in so many respects. Also, it says in faith. Paul talked about having a sincere faith, you know, and we're supposed to be examples with a sincere faith and follow Jesus' example. Man, he had a sincere faith. He went to the cross, and it says in 1 Timothy 2, he left us an example that we're to follow. The Greek word there is used of tracing paper. We're supposed to trace his life. I didn't know we were going to get so many Greek words regarding being an example, but it's so awesome. And then Paul also says, be an example in purity. And you know, I love it because he tells Timothy what that means in different respects. But one thing he says, treat the older women like your mothers. Treat the younger women like your sisters. Yeah. In other words, brothers and sisters, we need to be sexually pure with one another. And if you're married, you need to be just with your spouse. And if you're not married, you need to be pure until you get married or remain single unto the Lord to his eternal glory.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.